All right, good. Then let's talk about threats. Coming, we basically go back to the same lineup. I'd like to talk to the economist among us. Now, generally speaking, everyone tells us that trade blocs are a good thing, or countries coming together for tariff unions and things like that. But you touched upon some of the threats as well. Can you expand on what history has shown as threats to local businesses in individual countries when countries come together for a trade bloc?
Hello. Okay. Sorry, I was just testing whether it works. Well, I think that's quite a tricky question because, firstly, ASEAN is a very different animal, so we can't really talk from history. If you were talking from history within ASEAN itself, competition has always made things better. So the threats, the AEC was never intended to be something that was going to form a threat because it was always something that was going to enhance connectivity, enhance cooperation, enhance collaboration. At the very crux of it, it cannot be a threat. What can in the end become a threat is the way countries use the AEC or implement the AEC, and then that can kind of form a threat where you can have certain countries benefiting more from the AEC than other countries because either they are not fast enough to capitalize on the new rules, new procedures that is implemented because of the AEC, or they are exploiting it because there are loopholes and governments are taking advantage of that because there isn't the common consensus that they want it to benefit everyone. And it goes back to my point that ASEAN is so varied and has so many different political priorities and strategic interests. Unless those things are aligned, there can always be someone manipulating these kind of things at the back end. I mean, we don't see it from history yet, but competition has always proved good for the region from history, yeah.
Okay. Within the Ministry of Transport, are you looking at potential threats that also could affect the local businesses?
Thank you. Basically, I've been involved in the ASEAN since 1997. So I was one of the pioneer and still surviving. The rest are already expired. So from the day one, when I started, I've engaged with the transport operators. So I've told them, the big wave is coming, get ready. This is what the advice from the Ministry of from the day one. We signed the ASEAN agreement in 1998. So whether it's a threat, you know, foreign operators doing business, we will leave it to the industries to decide because this is not something new. I totally disagreed with that because the engagement has been done with the industries. We have been informed of these new initiatives under the ASEAN because we can't stop when globalization comes in. We cannot stop people doing business outside of their countries. So we need to open up. We cannot use closed door and doing it, let's do within Malaysia. Let the operators just, okay, you do within Malaysia, no cross border, we cannot stop that. So that's why we have advised the industries to be more competitive. So for me, if you ask me the question whether it's a threat, I will say no. It's an opportunity for
okay.
us. Thank
okay.
you.
However, Nazari, you completely disagree with that, right?
It's not that I do not agree with EEC. Of course, there are a lot of other benefit, but in order for us to be prepared to face this EAC, the government should look into the current transport industry first. How the government can help us to be more this month when we face the challenge. If you do not help us now, when this come in, I'm running one of the biggest haulage company in Malaysia, and I'm suffering to survive. What about the smaller one? What about those 80%, the small and medium company? So if government is not doing something to help us now, how are we going to compete? I'm not saying that we cannot, we have to stop this. No, I'm not saying that. But what we want, from now until the day this EEC go through, government has to start to look into our industry, how to support us so that we are ready to face this new competition. That is the issue. Mm. I think you got my point?
Yep. Yeah, sure. Huh?
So the issue is government has to do something to help us to expand the existing business.
Mm-hmm.
Those 80%, we hope by the time EAC come into force, we can make it the figure to 50%. Reduce it. This is the issue. You have to let the small company grow first so that we are in a better position to face this challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue to issue license, when can we expand? As I mentioned earlier, 1% of the industry have more than 200 trucks. The rest, only 20, if not mistaken, the figure is 24% having more than 30 trucks in the industry. So you see how weak are we?
So those 24% are the ones that are exposed?
That have been more than 30 trucks.
Mm.
So give us time to expand. We have more this one capital in our work before we face this challenge.
Mm. Mm. But then again, Mats would also have a tougher time because competition increases, isn't it? Eventually, I should be able to buy a truck in another country and move throughout the ASEAN. So you would have to come up with a more competitive service package, isn't it?
Yeah. So I believe I'm from Sweden, small country, 10 million people soon. Used to be 8 million when I was younger. And still, I think we have quite strong companies. There's another truck brand in the show. We have our Volvos, we have our Ericssons, we have our Electrolux, IKEA, H&M, ABB, and so on. And I think it's because we're an open economy, and it's a lot about competition. I think, of course, it's a threat for some, but I think the strong players survive and can flourish. I think competition has helped us to grow. Initially, we were wondering, when it comes to Chinese competitors, what will be the impact of them in Asia or in other countries. And so far, I think it has proven, the value of growing, climbing the value chain maybe, and providing a better service is always appreciated by the customers. Then I fully agree that the playing field has to be fair. And that's when it comes to the transportation industry in Europe. There is some regulation in terms of the vehicle taxes, in terms of the times that the drivers are allowed to drive, etc. So it has to be a fair and level playing field. But once that is in place, then I firmly believe in competition. And again, if there weren't the other Swedish brand here, I don't think that the Volvo brand would be as strong either, because we're pushing each other to become better. If I can just talk a little bit more on this, I used to work with Iran, extremely protected economy. And when you go in there, they can sell their truck, the cars that they produce there. Locally, they have something called Paycan. It's a Hillman from the UK. Well, they stopped producing it in the UK in 1963. Because it's a protected economy, they can still sell those cars. Now I think they moved to maybe something else, but that was when I was in Iran, late 90s. But you can never succeed elsewhere. And as soon as somebody gets access to your market, you will die if you're not exposed to competition. So I believe in competition, but I believe that the government should help with the right training and making sure that there's a level playing field.
Yeah. From an engineering point of view, is there a threat that things get more complicated?
Put it this way. Now, first of all, I would like to add something onto the flux of so many of the transporters. Remember in the year 2000, before the opening up of the haulier business, I remember when at that time the Big Five, when they were operating the haulier, it takes more than a week to get the container to get out of the port and send to the end user. And then the government were very, very worried because we cannot compete with neighboring countries like Singapore. Right? Their services are so good. So they start to open up. From the Big Five, they start to open up. I think at that time the policy, the government policy was to flood the whole the transporting, the whole industry with a lot of operators. So that hopefully the delivery is very fast. Okay? And I think it's high time. There are so many already, 300 over it. I think high time for the government to stop. I think the government is still flooding it. But the initial objective was very good, to ease the, this container being built up in the, this port clan. I remember pretty well. Okay? Now, another thing is about the costs of this the truck. Don't forget, in Malaysia, we are very unique. We have rebuilt trucks. The rebuilt truck, actually, they really flood the market. I think many of the hauler companies, they use rebuilt truck, which the price of it is very, very cheap. Okay, I think in places like Thailand or Singapore, no such thing like rebuilt truck. Yeah. We call it rebuilt, is it? So, and it is well protected by the government. So, in the midst of this so-called crisis, I mean, we still have the opportunity to grow.
But that is then an industry under threat. Because if you had a homologue market throughout 10 countries, one would look at saying, can we allow recon? Can we allow rebuilt trucks to move freely? I think there is an industry that at the moment is legal, but is under threat of being discontinued.
But at the current moment, I think there is a rebuilt truck. I think they are getting business as usual.
At the moment, eventually.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's your take on that?
Thank you, thank you, Dato. I think, we do allow rebuilt trucks. But initially, when I think this the thing doesn't come under MOT. MOT is basically on licensing of transport. Mm, mm. The policy to allow rebuild, I think, it comes under the MITI. To encourage small companies to come up to develop their capacities. Okay, but I think the policy was very clear at the point of time. You know, the rebuild is 20% for local market and 80% for export. But I'm not clear when this Dato, you were mentioning that the rebuild has been flooding in our country. That means more people are buying locally. It's supposed to be only 20%. I think it's 80% is supposed to be export. And I think basically we have to come. I understand the weaknesses is probably is the enforcement. They probably we didn't properly monitor the actually we didn't control probably that the 80% now it's the other way around. 20% export, 80% comes into the market.
Can I get clear?
Yes, please.
Actually, in the year 2006, so. The proportion of 2080 being abolished by MITI. So the rebuilders, they are at liberty to sell as many trucks as possible in the local market because they have already abolished that 2080. So it is a free market and this rebuilt truck is selling very freely and then we're hot kick.
Okay. We spoke about businesses. I'd like to see if we can have some insights on how a bigger market might be an impact on people's lives. Is there something like people being left behind because they can't cope with new environments, with new challenges? Is that, if I'm a German living in German society and everything stays the same, then I don't have much to fear. But if I'm opening up now, is that a threat to my personal life, to my profession?
Well, with the ASEAN experience right now, we are seeing it all goes back to the government, the policies and how prepared you are for this. Mm-hmm. Right now, the large migration in the Mekong region, like between Laos and Thailand especially, has seen a lot of workers being trafficked, a lot of workers being abused. Human rights records in these countries are low. Mm-hmm. And this is because there isn't enough regulations within these kind of sectors like employment to protect people who are moving from country to country. Mutual recognition agreements are also not comprehensive enough to protect people. If you're talking about within countries, again, it comes back to, are your citizens prepared for the new phase of growth? And if you look at Singapore, they've always taken quite a forward-looking policy strategy, where they've always been retraining people for the next industry, for the next industry, next industry. Obviously, it's a small country, it's easy to do. But if you're looking at bigger countries, this can be difficult. So, again, the AEC presents an opportunity for the countries to move up a development level. It becomes a threat when the countries can't because of their own internal struggles, their own internal policy struggles. So there's definitely going to be a lot of people who are going to feel disenfranchised because of increased competition, losing jobs because companies have to shut down or put out of business. There is going to be a lot of changes, but there will be a lot of people who will also benefit in terms of the movement of people across borders, new economic opportunities across borders, and things like that.
So coming back to the question about bus drivers, is there a threat that more people decide to live abroad, move out of Malaysia, making his situation even worse?
No, I mean, it depends on what kind of industry Malaysia want to hold on to its trucking industry, or does it want to move up the value chain and do more maybe management of trucking companies? Then it would be attracting talent into its country that would be doing these supervisory roles instead of the driving roles, right? So you would no longer need Malaysians driving trucks. You need Malaysians who are doing the management of maybe trucking companies in other ASEAN countries. I mean, that's a very idealistic thing, but from an economic theory perspective, that's what the whole intention was, that the region together can kind of find a balance in where industries, which industries need to grow where, who needs to work where. So there's skilled labor can work in certain countries, lower skilled labors move to other countries. But obviously there are intrinsic constraints like regulations within the country, policymakers wanting to protect national interests. That's when things get a bit more complicated.
Well, Mats, is it good enough today to just sell trucks?
I want to sell more trucks.
Okay, is it good enough then to just sell more trucks?
No, I think maybe the point is that it's we're also moving up the value chain or expanding the offer. As you said before, there are new competitors coming in. They can copy some of the stuff that we're doing, but of course we have to make sure that we can offer a better total solution to our customers in terms of services of different kinds, working with new technologies and so on. So it's I think it's a continuous, maybe it's a rat race or something like that, but I think we keep climbing, and I think it's good like that. So.
Okay, good. Again, I would like to see if there's questions at this point. Yeah, Billy has a question. All right.
Yes, good afternoon. Basically, it's more on a comment and area. What we are talking about is the ASEAN front. We actually have a friend here that's worrying about your protectionist. We also have a friend here worrying about, you know, Singaporean coming in, Thailand coming in, we are going there. Okay? So if we don't have an open border, what are we talking about ASEAN? There's no ASEAN. We are talking Malaysian. It's only within our borders. Okay? So we are talking about ASEAN, we must be able to do this. And we've been continue to talk about this for the past 10 years or more, if I'm not mistaken. I was also attending some seminars regarding all this. And your question was put forward to me, where are your concerns? Are you worried about the Thai people coming? Are you worried about the Singapore people coming? I said, no, let them worry, I'm coming. I have a bigger market to go in than their market to come here. What am I concerned about? You have to find the best people to operate the best routing. Okay? You have Volvos, they're running Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore. You want to operate this area, you need a Volvo. You don't go and buy a Mitsubishi. You may break down in Thailand, who will service you, who will take care of you, right? Same, likewise. You employ a Singapore driver, will you be able to pay the Singapore driver to drive all the way to Bangkok? He will say, here, take your own key. You expect the truck drivers to be free of charge? to drive for you all the way to Singapore, it's not going to be cheap. So Malaysia, we have certain categories of transport. You have your local distribution, you have your construction industries, you have your bonded cargo, you have your container haulage, you have your distribution area. Let the expert in that area do their best. So if you have a cross-border operation, I think that's where you're looking at is ASEAN. I'm not mistaken, we already be introduced or interviewed by SPART. And the area where we are concerned is that, okay, we can give you an ASEAN road tax that goes Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. This is the first phase where they are going to start. We submitted everything. And now we are waiting for the ASEAN road tax. We are transporting into Singapore. We can deliver cargo into Singapore. And we can take cargo out of Singapore. But we can't transport within Singapore. The local transporter will handle that sector. It's the same like when we are going to transport into Thailand. We are waiting for this road tax as we have the cargo ready in Singapore to go directly to Bangkok. We can save costs for our customer. We don't need to do double handling. We don't need to do double custom clearance. Singapore government or Singapore custom will issue an ASEAN custom form. We will take the ASEAN custom form, transit through Malaysia, and declare at the Thailand side. Thailand and pay whatever tax or GST or what have you, and deliver to Bangkok. It's not easy. We also have to engage Thai drivers. We also have to engage Thai people. We have to work in Thailand. We have to pick up the cargo from Thai to come out. It's not easy also to find the cargo and order this. We have to have our counterpart in Thailand to be able to do that away. Same likewise to Singapore. We can go to Singapore, you expect the truck to come back empty? We can't. We have to do a more efficient operation. Same as we are going to Singapore, you're going to Thailand or Malaysia, go to Thailand, you have to have an efficient operation. You have to have a return cargo. If we're going to do one way, who can survive? It's the same. I think all transport industries, if we are doing Kuantan delivery, we can't afford to go one way. Who will pay for our return costs? Who will pay for the fuel? The driver is not going to do for you free of charge. So it's the management that has to be able to sustain all of these costs, have to be able to cater for all these problems. The commercial area will be to, you want to manage this area where you are capable of doing or not. If you are capable of growing, then the government should be able to support that. The ASEAN spirit must be there to do that. If we are going to have protectionists, nobody cross border. No ASEAN. We can't even go to Singapore. We can't even go to Thailand. Now we have to set up an additional cost operation at the Thai border. We have the double handling. We have the staff doing. We have our custom clearance. We have so much equipment in Thailand side or on the Malaysia side just to do this double handling. And this can be reduced on the double handling. This can be reduced on the custom clearance. And this cost will be able to pass back to the customer. Secondly, we don't need to handle more than necessary. If we load the cargo in Singapore, we can deliver right to Bangkok, all intact. It's the same as what you're doing on the shipping line.
Yep, right.
You load onto the ship, they deliver to you in Bangkok. Oh. And we can do free house delivery. We can have advantage over the railway. We can advantage over the sea freight. Our cost may be higher, but we are doing faster.
Yep.
Okay, and we can be more efficient. So the impact, of course, comes in. The impact of management, commercial area, economical area comes in. Right? So as we're going to operate, we can't just be doing, employing Thai drivers to come in. They may not be able to drive safely. They may not be able to drive economically. They may not be able to drive our truck. We go to Thailand, we may not be able to drive their truck. So now what they're talking about is this ASEAN road tax that give our truck the rights to go Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. We can deliver, we can pick up, back to Malaysia, we can't transport within Thailand. We can't transport within Singapore. We can deliver and we can export. That, I think, is the most concept that we should be looking at. We can't be coming back empty. We can't be going up empty to pick up the cargo. There's no efficiency and there's no cost effectiveness. Okay, so actually, now we just put forward, when is this ASEAN going to be opening up? Rather than, we have a lot of problems that each individual one of us have to solve. Even like what trucks to use, what driver to use. If our driver can go to Thailand, can Thai driver come to here? Right? What do we do?
Okay. Very good comments there. However, a question formed. MOT is creating policies. And Renuka initially said, you can't look at history of other trade blocs because ASEAN is a whole different animal altogether and you might not be able to transfer what has happened in other countries or other trade blocs to the AEC. Is there a danger that when governments create policies, not knowing what might happen, that you have to double create them, that you have to go back and say, well, we thought this was what we needed to do, but turns out wrong?
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I fully support. I think your comment has been, I've been waiting for this kind of support from the industries. Yeah, most of the industries, is they agreed with the government policies. The question is, yes, you pointed out correctly, Thailand is very fear with the Malaysian operators. What they are trying to do is they are trying to stop at the certain points, whereas they have been requesting us to open up. So they said, okay, when I come in, I will deliver the goods to door to door. But see, when a Thai Malaysian trucks goes in, they said, oh, you only can travel up to Sadao, unload. Then from Sadao, their operators will take in. This is what we've been facing. I've been negotiating with Thailand for many, many years. I said to Thailand, please, if I open up, you should also open up. You shouldn't stop us at a certain points, at one container depot and said, okay, you unload and there my trucks will get it. Then I'll say, to protect my country, I'll say, I will stop you at Phuket Kalvita. Then I said, the ASEAN doesn't work. There's no more ASEAN spirit.
That's correct, yeah.
So we said, that's why I say, when you talk about protectionism, it doesn't happen. So we shouldn't protect. We should liberalize the whole entire movement of goods among the ASEAN. Talking about the ASEAN Rotex, to allow a Thai cargo to move goods within the one particular country. That, at this point of time, I think we don't allow. Let's start with the transit and interstate among the ASEAN countries, and later we'll look whether we can allow the internal movements. So now the cabotage has been prohibited for time being. So we don't need to have a ASEAN Rotex. You can travel with our Rotex. You can travel anywhere up to Myanmar. You can use one single permit from SPAD. You can move towards up to Myanmar and further down. So did I answer the question? So your question?
I think so. Yeah. Well, the question is whether or not is there a chance or a threat that policies might go wrong when you create them the first place?
We are not trying to retract whatever we have agreed under the ASEAN, because this has been agreed by the leaders of all 10 ASEAN members, member countries. Now, what we have to do is move forward rather than trying to pull back and say that this is not going to happen. That's why it has been going on, the negotiation has been going on for 20 years. Since 1998 until now, we have been still negotiating. If we find it that this one is no go, then we should have stopped 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and said, okay, no more ASEAN.
Yeah. And European Union took what now, 50 years?
15 years.
So
similarly, I think it's 20 years, it's still good. We are still negotiating with Singapore, we're still negotiating with Thailand. Singapore is not worried about Malaysian travels because most of the operators are Malaysian operators, so they are not worried. Thai, Brunei, the Brunei governments are a bit worried because they are a bit worried that we will overflood their industries. So they are a bit worried, it's what someone has pointed out. So there's no issue. Thank you.
Okay, please.
about, I'd like to comment on something, you know. Mr. Billy, you are representing, you are from Nippon Express, correct? Your HQ is in Japan. I think that's true, huh? Okay, in Malaysia, we have some foreign-owned company. I can name like Nippon Express, Tasco, Sun, we have now the Korean also coming in, CJ. We have Yamato Transport. As the president of Association of Malaysian Haulier, I'm talking about the Malaysian industry, local industry. Of course, we all cannot compete with the big boys. You think I can, any of the Malaysian companies, we can compete with them? I'm talking about the local industry, those owned by Malaysian, operate in Malaysia, grow up in Malaysia. I cannot compare my industry with those people coming from this one. We are not in a position. So my association, our association, is to protect the local members. Tuaji, betul Tuaji? This is what the association is about. It's not to protect one or two foreign-owned company. I agree that the Japanese or the Korean, they have better capital, they have better technology. At any time, of course, I agree, you can do better than us. If this is the government policy, then I cannot do anything. What we are asking, association is asking, how you can protect the local people.
And this once, you're at the same level as the Japanese, then you can compete with them.
Yeah. So what we are asking, to let the local people, some of the companies started the business in Malaysia, grow up in Malaysia. Let we expand our business so we can have better level to compete. Is this fair or not fair? I think you must protect first your own people before you open this.
I will not give a comment on that.
Started business in Malaysia, expand in Malaysia. Not talking about, I know usually a lot of other companies, they do better than us. Yeah. We do not deny that. Yeah. We are learning.
Billy, let's take that conversation later over a beer. I have another question in the corner there, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Ho Fong Lee. We are an HRDF certified training and consultancy, working closely with AMH now to upskill the people, the workforce. I would like to share an example. This is being practiced in China. The challenge of the local industry is always there. Big boys are coming, You can't help it. Yeah? I would like to share this example, how the Chinese competed with those giants like Apple, Samsung. Okay? They call themselves something, Sanjai or something, some Chinese word, right? The way they do it is like this. At the market level, they compete. Example, buying of fuel, maybe, buying of trucks, buying things, you know, because everybody is using all these things. Mm-hmm. They will group together to get the best price out of it. But the price is always, let's fight. Yeah, let's compete. Because you're small. The boys are big, they came from overseas, and especially Malaysia, we're talking about the RM being so weak. Man, we are losing out there. We go out, we're very poor people. They come in, they're very rich. So we cannot have a confrontation with them. So when we're talking about protecting the Malaysian industry, I think this can be a good example rather than waiting for the government to take action. Why don't the industry people take action among themselves? Let's sit down, have a chat. So you buy, I buy, you buy, I buy, let's aggregate, okay, let's buy, get a good price from Volvo. Or was it great? Bye. You are thinking, you're working with us. Then obviously Volvo say, okay, let's do more for you because we want to support you.
Okay.
Yeah? When so you are in unity, you have
so you're suggesting buying syndicates.
Whatever you call it. Yep. Wherever there is similarities, right? Because at the end, everybody's trying to increase the capacity, you're going into the market alone, Volvo say, brother, no good. Numbers are no good. Yeah. But when you're teaming up, everybody opening up, great. Another example, the airline industry, they have capacity issue, over capacity. They started Star Alliance, whatever alliance, Sky Alliance, right? So when you're worried about, hey, you know, coming back empty, you know, why don't we think about that? Let's have something that say, okay, that guy tries empty. Anybody want to try? Let's have a transactional price. Arm's length transaction. At least it covered the cost of my petrol, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay, come back. You do me a favor, I do you a favor. So in that case, it will be easier for the local boys to become or acting like big brothers because you are coming in as one.
And you would further suggest then that a company from Malaysia or group of companies from Malaysia could team up with a group of companies from, say, Thailand.
If it works here.
If it works here.
Right. It's only a suggestion to the next country because they're also facing the same problem. They're also being, you know, they're going to do something. It's the industry being competitive. Yeah, it's not something you say government can help. I think there's so much only the government can help, isn't it? Yeah, you guys got to outcompete the other guys. So you got to think about it. If the guys in China are doing it and they're making big money out of it, and the big boys is like, you go China, you think carefully. There are five ways to kick your ass. Right? Because they're able to work at a certain level, open market level, let's compete. But yet, because of this relationship, they are more than what meets the eye. Like for example, DHL, they went there and they closed. Do you know why they closed? You meet the Chinese, you have a problem.
Okay.
But anyway, that is just my suggestion.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. Do we have anyone that would like to comment on this?
Okay, going back to what Kato was mentioning just now. So, I think that's what's under the ASEAN. We have that same similar understanding among ASEAN. We work together. It's no harm that we go into Thailand, open up a company, JV with them, then do a business. I think that would be in future. I think we are moving towards that. So that will be one of the opportunities that I believe that under the ASEAN, the operators can leverage on. We also encourage Thai to come and work with it. I think we are moving. I proposed to SPAD in the last few, we have a bus transformation industry lab about a month or about 2 months ago. I said, now, if a bus operating individually, you see one operator, but they're going to a same destination, and if they have less passengers, why can't they combine and do it? That's what we are looking in the bus industries. We're also going to open up the bus industries to the ASEAN under the cross-border transport of passengers. We will have the scheduled and unscheduled bus operations. So probably we can look into how the airline has been doing. I think, thanks, Dato. I think that's one of view. I think the industry has to look into it. Yeah, thank you.
Very good, thanks. Do we have any other questions? Short one.
Dato, I think it's no issue for competition. Malaysia competes among Malaysia. We are not competing against Thai companies. Thai companies are not competing against Malaysian companies. We can't go and do transport in Lam Chaban. They can't come and do transport in Port Klang. This is a cross-border operation. So if we are more efficient, we can go into their market rather than they come into our market. I think you're comparing Malaysian market and Thai market. Thai market is maybe, I don't know, 3 to 5 times bigger than Malaysian market. We are consumer, they are manufacturer. So I think there's a lot more. In our mind, we have to be clear. We are not competing against them in their market. They are not competing against us in our market. It's just a cross-border operation. Now you're competing against sea freight and against air freight, not against each other. Yeah. So don't worry about our own local transportation industry. It won't be managing to survive. It's just a cross-border operation. Right? That meaning you increase a better service, a better delivery area that you can go to, not within yourself. I think that should be clear in your mind.
Okay. Thanks for that comment. With that, I would like to thank, first of all of you here for taking the time to join us, and of course our panelists. It's been a pleasure. It's been a wonderful session. I think we've all learned a lot from each other. I hope that we can continue this over a beer or not, or lamb, roast lamb up at the networking night. I would like to hand over now to Mats, who will be your guide, taking you to the Volvo booth. Token of appreciation. Okay, all right. Who do we have first? Mats is presenting, I guess. Okay. We do ladies first?
Yes.
Yep, okay. Please, Renuka, if I could. Yeah, next. Okay, so you've already arranged yourself. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Virindran. I get that right later.
So I can try to plan it?
Only if you've got the plan. Only once you've approved the plan. Last not least, Nazari, please. Well, if I could get everyone to give our panelists a round of applause. Thank you.